Hello friends, we are on chapter 21. This is specifically from the point of sale of assets. When we talk about sale of assets, there were those days wherein banks had to wait for a tremendous longer period when this matter would go to a court, and banks had no legal remedy than to going in the court. But here came a very important act called SARFAESI Act, which considerably reduced the period from which bank can actually do a sale of financial assets of the borrower. So this is what we are going to understand from this chapter about sale of assets under SARFAESI Act. When we talk about sale of assets, there are different types of assets that are defined. Various procedures are actually mentioned. Various provisioning norms are mentioned, various accounting procedures are mentioned, and this is all brings very big clarity as to how a banker should deal with the sale of assets of the borrower under the SARFAESI. The objective of this chapter is to understand the financial assets for asset reconstruction under the Securitization and Reconstruction of Financial Assets and Enforcement of Security Interest Act, which is popularly known as SARFAESI, enacted in 2002. So the first question comes to our mind, which type of financial assets can be sold? A financial asset that has to be sold to a securitization company or a reconstruction company by any bank or financial institution where the asset is. So this type of assets can be sold. The asset is an NPA, including a non-performing bond or a debenture. The asset is a standard asset, where the asset is under consortium or multiple banking arrangement. The asset is a standard asset where at least 75% of the value of the asset is classified as NPA in the books of other banks or FIs. The asset is a standard asset where at least 75% by value of the bank's FIs who are under the consortium or multiple banking arrangements agree to the sale of asset to the securitization company or the reconstruction company. So this is a very exhaustive list mentioning about which type of financial assets can be sold. The next important point for us to understand is what is the procedure for sale. The Securitization and Reconstruction of Financial Assets and Enforcement of Security Interest Act, SARFAESI 2002, allows acquisition of financial assets by the securitization company or the reconstruction company from any bank or FI on such terms and conditions as may be agreed upon between them. This provides for the sale of financial assets on without recourse basis as well as with recourse basis. We are going to understand the meaning of this recourse basis or without recourse basis in our subsequent slides. Next important aspect of this chapter is to understand the prudential norms for the banks and the FIs for the sale of transaction. When we talk about prudential norms, these are the best practices relating with income provisioning or the loss provisioning and various other factors that are related with prudential norms. Provisioning or valuation norms, very important aspect of sale of an asset. When a bank or an FI sells its financial asset to a securitization company or a reconstruction company, on transfer the same will be removed from the books. So this will make the books a bit lighter. If the sale to SC or RC is at a price below the net book value, that is book value less provision held, the shortfall should be debited to the profit and loss account for that year. If the sale is for the value higher than the net book value, the excess provision will not be reversed but will be utilized to meet the shortfall or the loss on account of sale of other financial assets to the SC or the RC. And the next important point relating with the provision or valuation norms is when banks or FIs invest in the security receipts pass-through certificates issued by the SC or RC in respect of the financial assets sold by them to the SC or RC, the sale shall be recognized in the books of the banks or FIs at the lower of redemption value of the security receipts or pass-through certificates and the net book value of the financial assets. So this is a very big clarity as to the provisioning and valuation norms of these assets. Next, we look at the securities offered by the SC or the RC should satisfy certain conditions. And what are these conditions? Condition number one is The securities must not have a term in excess of 6 years. The securities must carry a rate of interest which is not lower than 1.5% above the bank rate in force at the time of issue. The securities must be secured by an appropriate charge on the assets transferred. Next important condition is the securities must provide for part or full payment in the event the SC or RC sells the assets, securing the security before the mature date of security. The commitment of the SC or RC to redeem the securities must be unconditional and not linked to the realization of the assets. Another important point or condition relating with the securities offered are whenever the security is transferred to any other party, the notice of transfer should be issued to the SC or the RC. So these are the various important terms, conditions relating with the securities. Now let us look into investment in debentures or bonds issued by the SCs or the RCs. All instruments issued by the banks or the FIs from the SC or RC as a sale consideration for the financial assets sold to them, and also other instruments issued by SC or RC in which the FIs invest, will be in the nature of non-SLR securities. So here when we talk about investments, these investments are clubbed into non-SLR securities. Next important aspect is about the exposure norms. Banks or FIs investing in debentures, bonds, security receipts, PTCs issued by an SC or RC will constitute exposure on the SC or RC. As only a few SC or RC are being set up, now banks, FIs exposure on SC or RC through their investment in debentures, bonds, security receipts, PTCs issued by the SC or RC may go beyond their prudential exposure ceilings. In view of the extraordinary nature of the events, banks or FIs will be allowed in the initial years to exceed the prudential exposure ceiling only and only on a case-to-case basis. Next important criteria is the disclosure requirements. When we say disclosure requirements, what disclosures or disclosures should be made by the banks or FIs? Banks, FIs which sell their financial assets to an SC or RC shall be required to make various disclosures, and these disclosures are to be made in notes on accounts to their balance sheets. So it becomes a very important disclosure. What are these disclosures about? Details of financial assets sold during the year to the SC or RC for asset reconstruction. These details should be on the number of accounts, on the aggregate value net of provisions of the accounts sold to SC or RC, aggregate consideration received, additional consideration realized in respect of the accounts transferred in earlier years, and the aggregate gain or loss over the net book value. So these disclosures are very important to be made in the notes on accounts to their balance sheets of the individual respective banks. We also have guidelines on the purchase or sale of non-performing financial assets. These guidelines are a financial asset, including the asset under multiple or consortium banking arrangements, would be eligible for purchase or sale. In terms of these guidelines, if it is a non-performing asset, non-performing investments in the book of the selling bank. A bank which is purchasing or selling the non-performing asset should ensure that the purchase or sale is conducted in accordance with the policy approved by the bank or approved by the board. And here comes the importance of the board also. The board has to lay down policies and guidelines covering on various aspects, including the financial assets to be sold, the norms and procedures for sale of financial assets, the valuation procedure to be followed, and the delegation of powers of various functionaries. So it's very clear about how should one deal with the sale of financial assets, and it is so meticulously laid down that it includes not only the assets to be sold, it includes the norms and procedures also for the sale. It also includes the valuation procedure to be followed, as well as the delegation of powers as to which particular official is allowed to do which particular type of act. The next important points in the procedure for purchase sale of financial assets or non-performing assets is the board shall satisfy itself that a bank has adequate skills to purchase non-performing assets and deal with them in an efficient manner, which will result in the value addition to the bank. So it's not just for the sake of buying, The person should have adequate skill so as to ensure that any such purchase will add value to the bank, overall addition, value addition to the bank. The board should also ensure that the appropriate systems and procedures are in place to effectively address the risk and that a purchasing risk that a purchasing bank would assume while engaging this activity. So risk management is also a very important aspect of this transaction. Banks should, while selling NPAs, work out the net present value of the estimated cash flows associated with the realizable value of the actual available securities net of the cost of realization. There are some more procedures that are prominently specified in this. Guidelines: the estimated cash flows are normally expected to be realized within a period of 3 years, and at least 10% of the estimated cash flows should be realized in the first year, and at least 5% of each half year are thereafter subject to full recovery within the 3 years. A bank may purchase or sell a non-performing asset from or to other bank only on without recourse basis. Now here we need to know what is the meaning of without recourse basis. Without recourse basis simply means the entire credit risk associated with the NPA should be transferred to the purchasing bank. So this brings about very clarity about how the risk associated would be actually held or transferred. Next important procedure is banks should ensure that subsequent to sale of the non-performing financial assets to other bank, they do not have any involvement with reference to the assets sold and do not assume operational, legal or any other type of risk relating to the financial assets sold. Each bank will make its own assessment of the value offered by the purchasing bank for the financial asset and decide whether to accept or reject the offer. Under no circumstances can a sale to other banks be made at a considered price, whereby in the event of the shortfall in the realization by the purchasing bank, the selling bank would have to bear a part of the shortfall. We have some more procedures to be followed in case of sale of financial assets. Like, a non-performing asset in the books of a bank shall be eligible for sale to other bank only if it has remained a non-performing asset for at least 2 years. So this term has to be followed, and this at least two years should be in the books of the selling bank. Banks should sell non-performing financial assets to other banks only on cash basis. So this is also very clarity as to how the proceeds are to be obtained. The entire sale consideration should be received upfront, and the asset can be taken out of the books of the selling bank only on receipt of the entire sale consideration. A non-performing financial asset should be held by the purchasing bank in the books at least for a period of 15 months before it is sold to other banks, and bank should not sell such assets back to the bank which has sold the non-performing financial assets. So to keep a proper check, this procedure has to be meticulously followed. There are some more procedures to be followed. That is, banks are also permitted to sell or buy a homogeneous pool within retail non-performing financial asset on a portfolio basis, and the condition here is provided each of the non-performing financial asset of the pool has remained as non-performing financial asset for at least 2 years in the books of the selling bank. Next important procedure to be followed is the selling bank shall pursue the staff accountability aspects as per the existing instructions in respect of the non-performing assets sold to the other banks. So let us understand what are the prudential norms, especially from the point of asset classification. So number one is, the non-performing financial asset purchased may be classified as a standard in the books of the purchasing bank for a period of 90 days from the date of purchase. And thereafter, the asset classification status of the financial asset purchase shall be determined by the record of recovery in the books of purchasing bank with reference to the cash flows estimated while purchasing the asset, which should be in compliance with certain requirements. Next important point in asset classification is the asset classification status of the existing exposure other than the purchasing financial asset on the same obligor in the books of the purchasing bank will continue to be governed by the record of recovery of that exposure, and hence may be different. So these are the two very important points to be understood as far as the asset classification norms are concerned. Next two important points of asset classification are where the purchase sale does not satisfy any of the prudential requirements prescribed, then the asset classification status of the financial asset in the books of the purchasing bank at the time of purchase shall be the same as in the books of the selling bank. So this criteria also needs to be followed. And thereafter, the asset classification status will continue to be determined with reference to the actual date of NPA in the selling bank. So this criteria is very clear between the selling bank and the purchasing bank. And finally, the asset classification norm is any restructured, rescheduled, rephase of the repayment schedule or the estimated cash flow of the non-performing asset by the purchasing bank shall render the account as non-performing asset. So these four important points about asset classification has to be kept in mind. Next important aspect we will see about the provisioning norms, because provision norms are also very important when we consider non-performing assets. And these provisioning norms, first we will look at in the books of the selling bank. When a bank sells its non-performing assets to other banks, the same will be removed from the books on transfer. And if you look at this carefully, there are three important aspects in this booking of or accounting in the selling bank. The first one we saw, when a bank sells its non-performing asset to other banks, the same will be removed from the books on transfer. The second important point is, if the sale is at a price below the net book value, then the shortfall should be debited to the profit and loss account of the year. And the third important point is, if the sale is for a value that is higher than the net book value, then the excess provision shall not be reversed, but should be utilized to meet the shortfall or loss on account of the sale of other non-performing financial assets. So these three criteria are very important to be followed while accounting in the books of the selling bank. Now let us see what accounting norms should be followed in the books of the purchasing bank. The asset shall attract provisioning requirements appropriate to its asset classification status as in the books of the purchasing bank. So this is a very important criteria from the purchasing bank point of view. How will you account? So after asset classification, then your provisioning norms. Now the third important aspect is the accounting of recoveries. How shall the recoveries will be accounted? So let us understand this very clearly. Any recovery in respect of a non-performing asset purchased from other bank should first be adjusted against its acquisition cost. So the acquisition cost, the cost has to be diluted against any such recovery in respect of non-performing asset purchase, and recoveries in excess of the acquisition cost can then be recognized as a profit for that bank. So this is the way a profit can be booked only after actual recovery of the acquisition cost from the recoveries that are made in respect of the non-performing assets purchased. Another important point after asset classification, after provisioning, after accounting for recoveries, we have yet another point regarding to capital adequacy. When we talk about capital adequacy, for the purpose of capital adequacy, the bank should assign 100% of risk weights to the non-performing financial assets purchased from other bank. So here comes a very important aspect of risk-weighted asset capital. And the norms here are, bank should assign 100% risk weights to the non-performing financial assets performed for actually purchased from the other banks. And the next important criteria on capital adequacy is, in case the non-performing asset purchased is an investment, then it would attract the capital charge for the market risk also. One more norm after capital adequacy, provisioning, asset classification, accounting for recovery is the exposure norms. The purchasing bank will reckon the exposure on the obligor of the specific financial asset. Hence, this bank should ensure compliance with the prudential credit exposure ceilings, both single and group, after reckoning the exposure to the obligors arising on account of the purchase. We have certain specific requirements on the disclosure norms also. Let us look about some of the requirements of the disclosure norms. Banks which purchase the non-performing assets from other banks shall be required to make certain disclosures in the notes of accounts to their balance sheets. So these disclosures are to be made in the notes of accounts to the balance sheet, and these disclosures are about details of non-performing financial assets purchase pertaining to number 1, the number of accounts purchased during the year, number 2, the aggregate outstanding, number 2A of this number of accounts restructured during the year, and of 2A, after 2B, after 2A we have 2B, that is the aggregate outstanding. So in 2 points, the first point covers about the number of accounts as well as the aggregate outstanding. The second point concerns out of this the number of accounts restructured and the aggregate outstanding of these restructured accounts. There are some more disclosures to be made, and these are on the number of accounts sold, aggregate outstanding of this number of accounts sold, then aggregate consideration received, and finally the purchasing bank shall furnish all the relevant reports to the Reserve Bank of India credit information company, which has obtained the certificate of registration from Reserve Bank of India and of which the bank is a member, in respect of the non-performing financial assets purchased by it. So this is also very important from the point of purchasing bank to furnish the reports to Reserve Bank of India as well as to the credit information company. The next important point is about the writing off of NPAs. When we talk about writing off of NPAs, in terms of section 43D of the Income Tax Act 1961, income by way of interest in relation to such categories of bad and doubtful debts as may be prescribed, having regard to the guidelines issued by the Reserve Bank of India in relation to such debts, shall be chargeable to tax in the previous year in which it is credited to the bank's profit and loss account or received, whichever is earlier. So this is a very important provision relating to taxability, and amounts set aside for making provisions of NPA as per above are not eligible for tax deductions. So this important aspect has to be understood while writing off the non-performing assets. And we should also know that this writing of asset is done at the head office level. Banks may write off advances at the head office level even though the relative advances are still outstanding in the branch books. And in this particular instance, it is necessary that provision is made as per the classification accorded to the respective accounts. Thank you.